If I were to win the lottery tomorrow, I would still be a teacher.
Hello, and welcome back to This First I Met. Before we start, I just kind of want to apologize for all the background noises in this episode. I guess we can call it a true representation of the average high school experience. Continuing on with our series relating to the public education system, today's guest is Sarah Beth Badalamenti. She's the advisor for Huron High School's newspaper called The Emory, which I actually write and edit for. She's also the advisor for the yearbook called The Enthymion, a soccer coach, and also works on the Ann Arbor Public School Teachers Union bargaining team. All these things combined led her to have a very interesting perspective on the recent budget crisis in my school district, which I'll explain. In March, my school district announced a budget deficit of $25 million, $14 million of which was due to an accounting error. A vote from the school board authorized layoffs, starting with community service administrators. This led to protests and rallies attended by teachers and students alike, but additional cuts continued to be made, including the elimination of world language classes in elementary schools, co-director hours in band and orchestra classes being reduced by half, and 141 more layoffs, which was 6% of the district staff. Can you say your name and kind of just introduce yourself a little bit?
Yes. My name is Sarah Beth Badalamenti, and I'm a teacher at Huron High School. I teach yearbook and newspaper, and on the side, I coach soccer here. I advise the class of 2024, and I'm also on the bargaining team for Ann Arbor Public Schools for our union.
Can you describe your journey as a teacher a little? What made you want to start teaching? Was there anything that inspired you to start teaching?
I never wanted to be a teacher. I was always going to be a journalist, but when I worked at the state news at Michigan State University, I found that I was not as cutthroat. I could say cutthroat, but maybe just not as an aggressive reporter as many of the other people that I met in the newsroom. And I found that my path was gearing me towards looking at ethics and law within the classroom so that I could help shape and mold our youth before they got to the collegiate level, about how they interpreted the news, like reading it, and then because how they read it, how they would report on it. So
was that kind of just like your own personal realization, or did someone talk to you about it?
Well, my mother always said I should be a teacher, but no one wants to do what their parents tell them to do when they're younger, but I think my mother did know best.
Okay. So you mentioned you're in charge of the yearbook, you're mm-hmm. on the bargaining team. Mm-hmm. What is it like balancing all these things, like being a teacher, but then also having these responsibilities like outside of school hours?
Yeah. So one would not be surprised to know that for our senior class mock elections, I was voted most involved in school. So it's kind of just been something that's always been a part of who I am. I never wanted to miss out on different opportunities, and my parents were so supporting and saying, you can try whatever you want to see, to find out what your passions are. So I've always done a lot, and I'm also very blessed that I've got a husband whose mother was a teacher, so he gets it. My husband also did high school publications, so he understands what my passions are and what comes with those roles. And I think that I would rather have a lot to do than not to have anything to do at all.
Mm-hmm. And are there like certain strategies that you use to kind of balance this, or is it just like inherent that you want to be doing a lot of things at once?
Yeah, so with balancing everything, most people know I've got a calendar, it's color-coded, and I'm also old school. It's something that's written out and you can see it. It's out on my desk. I've got another written version out in our kitchen so that we all know what we're doing, since I'm a mom and I've got three boys. But the crux of it all is just knowing that as long as I communicate to everyone around me, I know that I can get a lot of things done. And my passion is giving, right? So I'm a teacher, so I feel like I'm giving in that regard. I don't coach for the pay. I just love coaching in general. And I like to be involved with things. I like to know what's going on. That's the journalist in me. And if I know what's going on, I gotta be involved with it. It's hard for me to sit on the sidelines.
And with all these extra passions, do you think that you have like
a vastly different experience than other teachers who maybe, their focus is mainly just during school hours.
Yeah, I would say so. I would also say that I'm so lucky that my passion is something that I can do for a job. So I always tell people I don't really work a day in my life because I was lucky to find what I wanted to do, and it happened to be something that I like to do, and I can get paid for it. So it just the overlap is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned that you didn't want to be a teacher, but like when you decided to be a teacher, has your job been what you expected back then? Or
oh my gosh, I would say it's changed so much. Like when I was first teaching, I'm sure we had emails. Like we had an email address, but like kids didn't have email addresses the way they did now. The grade book was not electronic. It was on paper. And I know that makes me sound like I'm a dinosaur. But kids didn't know their grades instantly when you put something in. Parents didn't email you. There wasn't like a thing in your syllabus that said, you know, reach out to me and I'll email you within 24 or 48 hours. So like the grind of the teaching career has changed. Students have definitely changed. We all have laptops now. It used to be like, ooh, I was Miss O'Connor then, right? Oh, Miss O'Connor's got, computers in her classroom. So it was like a really big deal. And the fact that I had a laptop, most teachers just had a computer in their room that they went to, but like after hours was not the same way it is now for the profession.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any parts about your job that are difficult? I mean, I'm sure there are, but...
Yeah. I think the most difficult part about my job is seeing the inequities that exist. And then, you know, if you don't know everyone's story, you know, being able to connect in that way. The other thing is, you know, I teach a lot of kids. My classes are full. I have like 30 plus in all of my classes. So if you think about a 50-minute class and if there's 36 kids in it, how many seconds does each kid get?
Yeah.
So just making sure that I can have a meaningful conversation or interaction. We do River Rat Roundup in newspaper, and that's so at least I can make eye contact with each student before the day starts, so you can see if someone might need something.
Mm-hmm. In terms of equity, how do you go about approaching that?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is just, you know, you're a person, you see a person, maybe something that they write about, and that might tell you a little bit more about them. I do a prior knowledge survey, so I get to know kids before. A lot of kids might not mention something like that. But inequities can come from money. It can come from even like the school you're coming from, or if you just moved here, or if you have, you know, X amount of siblings, or if you're watching siblings. A lot of finding this out is just getting to know kids in general, so you know where they're like, I don't know, like just like those barriers that they have. And then trying to adjust to those. I'm blessed that I teach yearbook and newspaper, so we can make assignments a lot different for each kid depending on what they've got access to.
Mm-hmm. And kind of along the theme of like inequity and like, could you kind of like describe what happened recently in Ann Arbor Public Schools in regards to the budget deficit?
Yeah. So I've been teaching in Ann Arbor for 9 years, and one of the big reasons that I chose this school district was I knew they had a strong union. It came from a district where we lost our planning hours in one of our bargains, and then we lost some of our like health insurance benefits, and I needed to be somewhere where I knew that we had a collective group that was strong. So there was a, you know, I don't want to call it a typo, a mishap, someone missed $14 million, and then on top of everything else, we have a problem here with overhiring, and one of my mentors always talks about it being a Thanksgiving dinner, right? We're having dinner, and we've invited 10 people to eat, and that's the food we have, but all of a sudden we've invited 20 more, but we have the same amount of food, right? So we're using we've got more people with the same amount of resources. And this year, the decision was made that they were going to do cuts, and they cut within teachers. They've done cuts in other places too. And when I say they, this means that like the superintendent and then looking at the school board. And what's difficult is that collaborative process with it. When the Emory covers board meetings, you can see that people come up for public commentary. Some people bring in facts, some people bring in opinions. Can you balance those? And then the board votes on a decision. The superintendent brings something in. But the conversation is the board and the superintendent. it's not the board, the superintendent, and the people that are, you know, part of the community and the teachers that are all at the table. So I think that can make it hard. I think that people are trying their best to keep everybody's wishes and dreams within there, but when it comes down to it, a decision was made. And now I'm part of the bargaining team that is trying to bring in stronger language for some of the topics that were prohibited within our contract language. So this is like layoff and recall and discipline and evaluation. These were rights that were taken away from us, but we are getting those back. And I can only do what I can do to move forward. I don't know. And like, you know, things are happening now, so it's kind of like a sad feeling right now.
Yeah.
Within those things. Yeah.
You mentioned like a decision has been made.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any kind of like change in atmosphere in the school environment because of that, since that decision?
I mean, so I'd say yes and no for change in atmosphere. For what I teach, for the Emory, this is our local politics, right? Like the news covers the president and things that go on in the nation and the world. For the Emory, we're covering what's happening in our school district. So it's been very powerful to watch kids write and report and learn about things that are going on that they might see that are not affecting them right now in the moment, but maybe years to come they will. It's been a tool in like looking at what is, you know, a school board meeting and looking at all of the different records and documents that are on a website for us to look at. And then just kind of like the emotions that come behind that and the stories that people have. So is there a different tone? We hope not. We hope that, you know, as professionals that's not the case, but I'm hoping that in my classroom, that it's kept as a point of this is what we're covering and we move forward.
Is it difficult to you, like personally as a teacher, to kind of have to, like you said, mm-hmm. you're trying not to have a difference in atmosphere, mm-hmm. in school environment. So is it difficult for you, like personally, to kind of maintain that?
Yes and no. I like how all my answers are yes and no. I like to believe I have a pretty good poker face. I'm not a really good liar. I like to tend towards the truth. It's, again, the journalist in me. So maybe just not answering a question is a better way to go about things. But, I'll leave that one at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've mentioned you're on the bargaining team.
Yes.
Is that part of the teachers union or?
Yeah. So there are elected roles to be on what's called the bargaining team. So any member that's a teacher, any person that's a teacher can be in the union. And then there's these elected roles. So there's the ones that are like the president, the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer. And then there's all, and so that's like our little cabinet there. And then there's the bargaining team, which all four of those people are on, in addition to a high school representative, a middle school representative, elementary, minority affairs, and like specials. So those are all, we are all represented. And then from there, we help that we take the voice of the teachers. A lot of times we'll do surveys, find out what teachers want, and then that's what we go bargain for at the bargaining table.
Mm-hmm. So what was the role of the teachers union and the bargaining unit in this situation?
So we did not have as much power or say in this as many people might think. Mm-hmm. We're there to look at the contract and what we look at, like financials, we look at calendar, we look at anything's the contract language, and to make the role of the teacher, you know, the best that we can be. But when it came to like the cuts, we were not asked. We put together a group that gave suggestions to the superintendent. She did listen, right, to us. But for what she took of that, I was not in that budget committee, that team that we put together, and that was not a bargaining. That was a different team that was put together to look at all of the things. And our main goal was not people. Like, we wanted to make sure that we weren't cutting people, and where were different places that we could cut that wouldn't affect students. And also keeping that lens of equity in there, because it's easy to cut programs quickly, but we want to look at who it's going to impact, and how that impact will be made on individual kids.
Does your work on the bargaining team, does it allow you to have some kind of a different perspective in like teaching?
Yes. Well, not within my, like, my teaching. When it comes to reporting, yes, because there's a lot of different documents that my newspaper kids have access to, right, that are all over the district homepage for transparency reporting that a lot of people might not look at. So we've looked at a lot of those things in our classes. But when it comes to, like, actual instruction, maybe not so much, but the training that I got for, it's called interest-based bargaining, has been really helpful just as me as a human to make sure all voices are heard. And from there you can create goals that I can bring into my classroom. Yes.
And I feel like there's been, like, a certain lack of, like, certainty in this situation, like, in regards to how the teachers feel. Is this kind of thing, is it common for teachers to feel like a lack of maybe stability regarding, like, their position or just within the school district?
So I'll say this much. So this is my 17th year of teaching. I've never been in a district where pink slips have been given. I've only been in two. But there's many teachers that will say they came from a different district, there were pink slips there. Most schools budget out their balance. They balance out their budget by the end of the school year, so they know who they need to keep, who they need to let go. And for Ann Arbor, we were a growing community. And then when we started shrinking, things just didn't match up. And I'm not here to blame anyone. I'm just saying that as a whole, things weren't matching up. And that's what brings us into this deficit. So I've never felt at the end of each year that I thought I was going to lose my job. This year, because of this, I mean, it's definitely impacted me. And whether it was me or a friend, I mean, I've been in this community long enough that, like, anyone who gets laid off, like, I feel like because of my role in the bargaining team and I go do outreach in other schools, I know a lot of people, and it's, you know, it hits me right in the heart, and it's going to be a sad next couple weeks when we find out what actually happens. And I'm hopeful that we brought forward an idea of having teachers retire or leave the district, and they would get a kind of like a buyout, but it's towards retirement. The more people that take that, the less people get laid off. So I'm hopeful that there is, you know, less impact on our teachers.
Yeah. I know something that was being discussed, at least within, like, the student body, was whether or not there's actually anything that, like, we can do to change what happens or what the school board decides.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, they were taking your voices into account and the voices of students into account?
I want to say yes. I think that there were some really powerful messages. I mean, I listened to all of the public commentary, the students that came forward, beautiful messages. And I would like to say yes. I mean, I've been asking for the past 3 years to bring back an aftercare program. That aftercare program is coming back next year to my school that my children go to. That's going to change my life. And I would also like to think that if not for a decision the board makes, every student that is here at Ann Arbor Public Schools that comes back to the school, that means that maybe we can hire another teacher back or another program comes back. Like I said, I don't know what the full scope of everything is. They've put forward a plan, right? And we could see what that plan is with cutting foreign language at the elementary and some of the assistant music directors. So we can see that. So is that something that is first to bring back? I don't know. But if we've got the numbers of kids that are here, right? Each kid, if each school brought back two more kids, right? Think about the numbers that are so powerful that we're saying we're losing hundreds of kids. Like, I know in my free time as a person that lives in the community, I'm talking to parents who left the school district. Maybe it's because there wasn't aftercare or because we didn't open our doors right away for the pandemic. Or maybe they thought there was going to be a different education at a different school. I'm reaching out to see if those parents would consider bringing their kids back to Ann Arbor Public Schools because they live in the district and it would be great to still have those kids in our school buildings. And I've successfully brought back three kids so far. And that's where students can get involved. If your friends switched schools, they went to a charter, they went to a private, you know, ask them, what is it that would bring you back? And I think that's where kids can have their biggest impact.
So you think that this kind of, like, physically bringing kids back to the district is what would help the most instead of, like trying to, like, talk to the school board to, like, change their minds?
Yes, I do. I think that, you know, I think that the adults can have the impact in that way. I don't think that any voice should be silenced, though, because maybe there's a perspective that we haven't heard yet. And if that
student has something to say that is so powerful, don't make it that you are censoring yourself, because it might change the mind of somebody. We don't know. That's why we need to value all perspectives. I'm just saying that, you know, as someone that's in the community, what can you do if you can't make it to a board meeting, or if you feel like, sometimes you feel like you have to have some sort of like seniority somewhere, right? But just bringing kids back into the buildings, that can help with growth of the programs again. In programs meaning like bringing people into the buildings so that teachers don't have to be let go, or they don't think that they've got to cut a certain program, right? Yeah.
Do you think to me it kind of feels like you have like the sense of responsibility to do that, like on yourself, like
yeah,
you have to be the one to do it. Do you think it's like fair that you have to feel that way though? Like, shouldn't it be the board that does that?
Yeah, I think that it's the role of the district to, you know, do its own self advertising and marketing to say, look how amazing we are. But we're all a part of this, right? Like, we're all a part of this community. And, you know, I might know different people that a board member knows, or from someone that goes to Skyline. Like, if we all take this upon ourselves, right, as something that we can, you know, bringing, you know, people back, I think that it's, I don't know, if someone asks you a question and you know them, aren't you more inclined to answer versus someone you don't know? And if you have a positive experience here, it means more coming from someone that you know. I mean, look at influencers on social media, right? If it's a trusted person, all of a sudden they bring in a new brand and you've been following them for X amount of years, you're going to go buy it. Look at Stanley's, right? All it is the right person saying it, and you never know who the right person is that's going to be to sell that product.
Yeah. And kind of like in regards to the rights of teachers or educators, are there things that you wish you could change, like in general, but then also within the Ann Arbor School District?
When it comes to teachers, the most powerful thing that we're working right now in within our bargaining team is bringing back this language that's going to help with evaluation, discipline, layoff, and recall. Those will be really big because those were taken away from us. And then when it comes to like, you know, with other rights and whatnot, I don't know. There's always something that's new, right? We grow as a society every year, every decade. There are some things we go backwards in, but just making sure that you're aware of them is what we can do right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this community of teachers, do you think you've grown stronger because of this experience, or has it kind of, I don't know, like diminished? I'm not sure.
I mean, I've never been to a rally before, a board meeting before, until this school year. And I would say that our action team that's led by Sarah Anton, that's in our building, and Dan Crowley, who is at Forsyth, like there's definitely been, you know, a different vibe and community from it. So I've never seen anything like that before. So yes, it does bring us together. I think the disappointing part is that, you know, there's still going to be layoffs.
Right.
I don't know. There's some things I feel like we got back, but other things we lost.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything I should have asked?
If I were to win the lottery tomorrow, I would still be a teacher. I would just build myself a wing, and I would have a window in my classroom.
Yeah, it's like locked in, landlocked everywhere. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Talking. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you're curious, you can read more about this budget crisis at thehuronemory.com, where my peers and I covered the situation pretty carefully. Thank you so much for your support, and see you next time.